Now, let me say up front that there are times when we get angry at things that we should get angry at. These are things that are clearly wrong, they're sinful, they're evil. Just think of Jesus in the temple. You'll remember the story of him overturning the tables of the money changers. He was outraged at what they were doing. And so he said, "How dare you turn my Father's house into a marketplace?" This was a great evil that was happening, and that's how Jesus responded. He responded with what we often call righteous anger. Ephesians 4:26 puts it, "Be angry and do not sin." Be angry and do not sin. This reminds us that there is a time and a place for anger. But in your anger, do not sin. It's unfortunate that many people take this verse out of context, or they wrongly interpret it. And they use it to justify anger and behavior on their part, which is clearly sinful, clearly wrong. So even though there is a time and a place for righteous anger, most of what we read about in the Scriptures is what we would call sinful anger. And that's what we want to look at for the remainder of our time together. Now, it's very important for us to understand that no one can cause us to be angry. No one can cause us to be angry. We get angry of our own accord. We willingly choose to get angry. Often we find ourselves in situations where someone else sins against us. That's going to happen. Think of the Lord's Prayer. "Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who trespass against us." So it's going to happen, and what happens is they do something against us that's sinful, and friends, we can't change that. There's nothing we can do about that. We can't control it when someone sins against us, but here's the critical thing to understand. We can control our response. We don't have to get angry. We don't have to lash out at them. As you know, we have 4 small children in our household. The Lord's blessed us with 2 boys and 2 girls. I love what Stephanie says all the time. She says, "Never a dull moment in the Stegman household." So there's always that busyness. There's always that activity in our place. And let me just give you a hypothetical scenario. This is something that could happen and probably does happen quite often. Steph and I will hear crying. We'll hear carrying on and fighting. And so we go and investigate. We want to find out what has happened. And so what do we find? We find John and Jeremiah fighting. And so we learn that John has hit his brother. And so we ask the question, "Why did you hit your brother?" And what's the answer? "He made me do it. He made me do it. He stole my toy, so he made me do it." That's what we hear. So we have a little conversation, and sometimes there'll be a consequence. We're trying to explain to them that 2 wrongs don't make a right. That's not how you respond. Here's the point. No one can make you do anything. No one can make you do anything. You are a free agent. And even if someone had pointed a gun at your head, telling you to say something or renounce something, you still have the freedom to do what you want to do. You can say no to them. So it's critical to understand that every time we get angry, we do it of our own accord. Turn with me to James chapter 1. One of the things that I'd like for you to consider as you reflect back on this message and you process this and that whole thing, I want you to consider the reason for your anger. I want you to take inventory. Ask yourself, why am I angry? Let me read this verse here, James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So when we get angry, we want that anger to produce something. We want there to be an outcome. We're frustrated, we're angry for one reason or another. Ask yourself why. And ask yourself, what is that producing? The Bible tells us there that it's not producing the righteousness of God, the righteousness that God requires. But this verse also reminds us that when we're responding to circumstances, the circumstances of life, and we're responding to people who sinned against us, we need to be slow to speak. Don't lash out. Don't get angry. Rather, we should be asking the question, how can I glorify God by my response? How can I bring honor to His name? I realize that this is not always easy, especially when we've been hurt. But again, anger does not produce the righteousness that God requires. Let me give you another verse, 1 Peter chapter 2. And I want to read verses 18 to 23. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing when, mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if, when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in His steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in His mouth. When He was reviled, He did not revile in return. When He suffered, He did not threaten, but continued entrusting Himself to Him who judges justly. Now this verse reminds us that we are going to suffer unjustly. There's going to be times where you're mistreated, you're abused, you're reviled. As a Christian, it's going to happen, especially with the changes that are happening in our world today. Jesus said, if they hated me, they will also hate you. The question is, how are we to respond? And Peter tells us we're to follow the example of Christ. We're to endure sorrows while suffering unjustly. And really, verse 23 is the key. We are to entrust ourselves to Him who judges justly. And of course, the one who judges justly is God the Father. We live in a world where there's many unjust judges. That's part of living in a fallen world. But one day, we as Christians know that God will set all things straight. And this gives us hope. This gives us peace and joy, because it reminds us we don't have to defend ourselves. If somebody wrongs us, we don't have to get back at them for doing whatever they've done to us. Friends, we're servants of the Most High God. He knows exactly what has happened, and we leave it to Him. We entrust ourselves to Him who judges justly. He will have the last word. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. We're going all over the place this morning. Romans chapter 12. And again, we're talking about the whole matter of anger, how anger does not produce the righteousness of God. And here in Romans chapter 12, we have this reminder that our job is not to repay. Our job is not to bring justice. That's God's job. Romans chapter 12, verses 19 to 21. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, I want us to think about the direction of anger. We've just established that we are not to repay when someone wrongs us. What about the direction of anger? Anger is always directed in three ways. First, it can be directed toward ourselves. We get angry with ourselves. We get frustrated. We're not meeting our own expectations. We've disappointed ourselves. Friends, we fail. We fail at times. We're sinners. Praise God, we're saved by grace. But we can get angry with ourselves, and many people even struggle to forgive themselves. It's amazing. God forgives us in Christ, but sometimes we have trouble forgiving ourselves. So that's the first way, ourselves. And then secondly, anger can be directed to God. People get mad and angry with the sovereign God. They think that God has dealt them a bad hand. On the one hand, they're acknowledging the sovereignty of God, that God is the creator and sustainer of all things. But they're angry that life isn't going the way that they want life to go. Or think of the loss of a loved one. We ask the question, God, how could you let my daughter die? How could you let my grandpa die? So Christians can and do get angry with God. Lastly, we get angry with other people. And I believe that this is far and away the biggest source or the biggest direction of our anger. We get angry with ourselves. We get angry with God. But by and large, we get angry with other people. And many times, if we just take a step back, if we take a look at the bigger picture, we would see that our anger is unjustified. It's unwarranted. See, in the moment, we can't see that. We're angry. We're exercised. We're worked up. And so we respond in anger toward the other person. And it's unfortunate, but often that anger toward other people is often those who are closest to us. It's our friends, maybe a coworker, especially our family members. The person that I've hurt more than anyone else, at least in the past 10 years, is my dear wife, Stephanie. And that saddens me to think that and to say that, but that's true. Within the marriage, this is true of a lot of marriages. We hurt one another often. And this is where we need to take a step back, where we need to do inventory of our lives. Because the last thing that we want to be doing is hurting those who are closest to us. And so we ask the question, what is my anger accomplishing? And is it justified? Well, let's talk about what we can do with our anger. Most of us deal with this issue of anger at our prayer meeting on Wednesday night. I think all of us confess that this is something that we struggle with. What do we do with it? Well, let me rely on Jerry Bridges. He's an author. He just passed away last year, but he wrote a book called Respectable Sins a number of years ago. And this book has to do with all those sins that are accepted by the Christian community. It's kind of like, well, we're Christians and we're sinners, we're saved by grace, and so there's all these sins that are just acceptable within the church. And he's saying, wait a minute, that's not what God's word says. And so he's got a couple chapters on anger. I read them this past week. Very, really good stuff. Here's five things that Bridges says we need to do. Number one, recognize and acknowledge. Recognize and acknowledge. The worst thing that we could do is to deny our anger and try to justify it. Friends, you'll never gain victory over anger if you deny it. You need to recognize that it is a problem. And this is a problem in the sight of God. It's not just those around you that you're hurting. Friends, you're sinning against God. So that's the first step. Recognize, acknowledge the anger in your life. Number two, ask the question, why? Was it because of pride? Was it because of selfishness, you wanting your own way and insisting that you get your own way? Was it because of idolatry? We all have those idols in our lives. And idolatry is often connected with anger. Number three. Actually, before we go to number three, I want to take us to the book of Jonah, because I think this is really important. You'll remember the story of Jonah. God calls him to go to Nineveh, to preach, to call out against that wicked city. Jonah says, no, I'm not going there. Those people are evil. They're sinners. So he goes the opposite direction. Literally, I mean, he boards a ship and goes in the exact opposite direction. But you know what happens. God doesn't allow that. He gets swallowed by the great fish. After 3 days and three nights, the fish spits him out, and Jonah's ready to listen. He's a little bit more pliable. He's ready to listen to God. And so he does exactly as God told him to do the first time. He goes to Nineveh. He calls out. He preaches this short 8-word sermon. And what happens? Nineveh repents. They hear him. They respond. The king responds. The whole city responds. I mean, that's like every preacher's dream, to go into a city and have this happen. But notice how Jonah responds. Let me read Jonah chapter 4, starting at verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is this not what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. So that's one thing I didn't even mention. We're talking about anger. We're talking about the character of God. He's slow to anger. Our God, he is gracious and merciful. Verse 3, therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it's better for me to die than to live. And here's the key verse. And the Lord said, do you do well to be angry? He nailed him. And Jonah had to know that there was no good reason for his anger. Do you do well to be angry? Ask the question why. Number three, repent. Repent of your anger. And if you want to see what biblical repentance looks like, then go to Psalm 51. Read David's repentance. That's true biblical repentance. Sometimes we're sorry for consequences. We're sorry that we got found out. But are we truly repentant? Are we truly grieved that we've broken God's law and that we have hurt other people? So number three, repent. Number four, seek forgiveness. This takes us back to Ephesians 4:26. Do not let the sun go down in your anger. Don't wait for tomorrow. Don't wait for next week. Do not let the sun go down in your anger. If you sinned against someone in your anger and lashed out against them, then seek reconciliation. Ask for their forgiveness. Do whatever you can to restore the relationship. And then lastly, number five, hand it over to God. Give it over to God. You can't control whether that person will forgive you, but you can entrust yourself to the one who judges justly. Well, friends, we need to conclude. We've run out of time. Again, let me say the same thing that I said at the beginning. Sin is serious. Be killing sin before sin kills you. And we've only looked at one sin in particular, the sin of anger. We've looked at how that can result in other sins. I don't have to tell you that there's many different kinds of sins. They're all deadly. Next time we're going to look at slander. We're going to look at sins of the tongue. But we need to take it seriously. The Bible tells us that the judgment of God is coming. It'd be a lot easier if Jesus had just said, in keeping with the law, thou shalt not murder. Now, he said that, but he took them deeper into the heart of the Bible's teaching. But I say unto you, everyone who is angry with your brother will be liable to judgment. And friends, when we hear that, it should immediately tell us that we're guilty before God. We're all guilty. Is there anyone here this morning who is going to deny that they've never been angry with their brother or sister, their neighbor, their coworker, their friend? If we're honest with ourselves, we'd all have to admit that we've been angry before. Maybe even now, this very moment, you're harboring bitterness in your heart. You're resenting someone. So what are we to do? Well, we can go back to that whole five-step process, which is really important. But here's the deal. We're all guilty. We're all liable to judgment. What do? We go to Jesus. We run to Jesus. We look to Him. Friends, He is the only one who ever lived the righteous life that God requires. He's the only one that fulfilled the law of God. All these things that He's teaching here in the Sermon on the Mount, He's the only one who fulfilled it completely. And friends, His sacrifice paid the penalty for our sins. So we need to stop looking to other people. We need to stop looking around us, and we need to look to Jesus. We've all failed over and over and over to keep the kind of life, to live the kind of life that God requires. But Jesus fulfilled the law. And friends, when we look at this kind of teaching, when we read the Sermon on the Mount, it should humble us. It should take us to our knees, and we should cry out to God, Father, who is sufficient for these things? I can't do this in my own strength. I've failed over and over and over again. But here's the good news. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. I'm the chief of sinners, Paul said. That's good news. That's gospel news. Run to Jesus, dear friends, and instead of getting angry with one another, forgive one another. Love one another. Serve one another. Jesus forgave us. How could we not forgive one another? Great God in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. We thank you that the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only begotten from the Father. Father, we just cry out to you. We pray that you would just mold us and you would shape us and that you would continually show us how much we need a Savior, how much we can't fulfill this law of God on our own. But at the same time, Lord, show us that we need to take sin seriously, that sanctification is so very important in the Christian life. So, Father, have your way in our midst. Bring glory to your name. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.